So yesterday, I get home, I go, I check my mail.
Spiegel's favorite part of the day is checking the mail.
I love the mail.
It's, how do you spell it?
M-A-I-L.
Okay, all right, making sure, because there's two very distinct spellings of it. And I get the, you know, I get my magazines, and I get my value pack and my penny saver, and there's this letter in there that looks crazy official. And it's got what appears to be the IRS seal on the front of it. And it's like the eagle. This is the, Mike, that's the seal right there. I see that on the front of it. Now I can just pull this logo up online, print it out and stamp it on whatever. So I crack it open, and it's this whole long description of Dear Justin Daniel Schlegel, with my social security number and an itemized breakdown of some 1099s. Those are things you do as a private contractor through like stand up. Or if, like, a client will pay me outside of our paycheck to do something.
Yes.
And it's like a breakdown of stuff. Like, this is my for real financial information. At the bottom saying, these have not been submitted and must call this number to remit payment immediately to avoid a 30% penalty. So it was like $3,900 that I owed, and with a penalty, it was going to be like $5,500. I'm like, what the hell is this about? I know I paid for my damn taxes. I am sure. Each year I am up to speed. I look forward to getting my W-2 so I get that stuff in, done, TurboTax to the accountant, up and out. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call our friends over at RBC Wealth Management.
You didn't call the number at the bottom of the paper?
Hell no. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call them. I call them first. I'll leave a message with our buddy Brian. Then I call that number. And it is some dude who sounds like he's talking to me through a CB radio on the other, and he's got some weird, like, Lindsay Lohan, I recently adopted this accent. Yes, sir, phone number is 294567 case 4. It is $3,900. You're needing to pay immediately.
Right.
It's your credit card, PayPal, or your checking account. I'm like, well, how did you get, may I ask how you got this information? Through our sources and of people that we work with in networks, and you have not, like, he kept putting it back on me. You have not paid, and you need to pay, and you need to
you
pay soon.
You have not paid, sir. You need to pay.
And he's like, I'm like, I want to know, where did you get this information? This is all my legit information. Sir, I must make it clear, the 30% penalty, and it will stack. And it, we kept saying, it will stack. And I don't know how you got this stuff, but I know for a fact, I can email you stuff to show, maybe it's a mix-up. Is there an email address of yours that I can show you that I've paid this sort of stuff? Sir, if it's a payment, is not to be remit, and he would not hear it. So I'm like, I'm going to call you back. I just hang up on him.
Yeah.
I call Brian.
Yeah.
I call his crew over there. He immediately is like, don't give them a dime. This is a massive thing.
Now, what did the letter look like? What was the header on it?
It had this logo. If I can show you this, this is the logo that it had on the corner, outside of the envelope, and on the envelope. And I'm telling you, this thing looked for real. There was a serrated portion where I could, like, write down my credit card information and all this. I mean, everything. If this was some, I hate to speak ill of our elders, but someone who might be getting a little up in years, kind of getting the soft pistachio brain, they might have immediately written stuff off and tossed
this. Is this what
it
looked like that?
It looked damn near like that. Not that exact, but it had underneath here, at the bottom, it was two pages. It had a breakdown of all the 1099 stuff, which sketches me out to begin because
was it real, like 1099 stuff, or was it just kind of like
actual real stuff?
Ooh, that's scary.
I was like, okay, well, that kind of worries me that that's floating out there, but anything can be gotten by anybody these days when anything's digital. But I mean, I'm talking to the friends over at RBC, and they're like, man, you'd be stunned. There's doctors that fall for this. There's clients that they've heard of that have come to them for financial advice that say, man, they blindly will just write a check for $15,000, $17,000, $20,000.
That's pathetic.
And meanwhile, there's some from Finlandic flesh peddler, some dude in Kazakhstan buying himself a whole new fleet of donkeys.
Yes,
a fleet of donkeys, and buying his wife a brand new live dog to wear in her head because that's what they use as hats in Kazakhstan. And it was scary, and I just thought, like, man, if you send this notice out to 1,000 people and only 2 bite on it, you're swimming in it. You got to be making money ass over tea kettle doing this. Because some people are just so scared by the institution of the IRS. Tell you what,
2020, the candidate that abolishes the IRS, flat tax baby, you got daddy's vote. It's a terrifying organization. I mean, how many times do you hear about debt consolidation? We'll get the IRS off your back. Call us now. You'll never have to talk to them again. You get TurboTax. The very last page is, would you like to buy audit insurance for like 50, 60 bucks? So if you do get audited, they'll never come to you and we'll step in on your behalf. And luckily, I even went and found my last year's returns. Like, yep, everything's all fired. Even Steven, I'm good to go. But it's scary. I got to wonder how many people have had a relative, especially like an elderly relative that this happened to. And they come to find out that some son of a bitch somewhere in a land with 14 consonants in a row has sucked their 401k dry, dry.
Apparently, a texter saying it was on one of the local news stations this morning. So I guess they're going around. Keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for these letters.
Not cool, Jack.
Says, I received the same letter called the 800 number, and it sounded like an Indian man was in a tunnel underwater.
That's the same dude. It's the work of one man.
It's the same guy.
That guy got me. So yesterday, I got a letter in the mail. I told the tale earlier. It was from some nefarious son of a bitch somewhere. God, I hope it was overseas, because if this was domestic, I'll find you. Saying that they were from the IRS. I owed a bunch of money. I got to call this number. I got to pay immediately. If I don't, there's going to be a penalty. Scare tactics, yada, yada. I don't do it. I call our good friends over at RBC Wealth Management. Shout out to our man, Brian, over there, who's always given me good financial advice and said, it's a scam. Throw it away. Get it gone. And then now we're coming to find out that this has been happening all over the area. I still want to know how they got, like, a lot of particulars. I mean, that was my social. Those were 1099s. That was real stuff. Somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's the part that scared me more than anything else. They didn't get any money from me, but they got some info. I mean, luckily, I am life-locked to the nines, okay? So, yeah, this is scary. Then you hear people checking in saying, you know, my grandmother got taken for $50,000 from some of these scams.
Yeah, I'm getting a ton of texts.
What do you got over there in the text machine?
Somebody says they got that letter a couple months ago, and they called, and just like that guy said, and like you said, there was a guy with an Indian accent, and the guy answered, so he hung up because he says that the government agency will make you go through an automated voice before you get to an actual person.
Yeah, like, that was something else they said.
Somebody you're going to pick up directly. You know, if you call, like, if you're actually calling the IRS, it'll be like, are you calling about past due balance? Press 2.
Yeah.
Do you need to get to this people? It's not going to be like, hello, you, hello?
Hi.
Yes. Oh, hi.
I'm Erwin R. Scheister, IRS, please.
Yeah, they're not going to answer directly, most likely.
410.
If it's a 1-800 number, you're going to hit some sort of automated thing, usually.
Yeah, this was not a 1-800 number. And they say that the IRS will contact you via mail. They don't have a phone call. Like, if they call you or they email you, it's almost definitely a scam. Let's see what some people say here. Let's go to Wayne in Bel Air, who is holding. Wayne, good morning.
What's up, guys?
Thank you for holding, man.
About 7 years ago, this was a legit letter. I came home and opened the letter up, and the IRS said I owed them $1,841.47.
Wow.
They screwed up on my taxes, and they taxed me for the last 7 years on instead of what I made my commission, the amount of product I sold.
Damn. Now, are you making that kind of money to possibly owe that kind of money? Okay, because like, someone forgot to carry the one or a decimal points too many places to the right.
Yeah, I make commission. I make 17%, and I sell over $600,000 in product a year. But they were taxing me on the $600,000 a year. So it cost me $1,000 to get my accountant to go through it and get everything like squared away, where I had to redo my taxes for the last 7 years.
Gotcha. Damn. Okay, so that's that was actually an IRS screw-up. I'm talking like scams. This is someone that's trying to, by hook or by crook, take a couple of bucks out of you illegally. Let's talk to Don in Bel Air. Don, you research this kind of stuff, these phishing scams?
Yeah. I am somebody who, I'm a pen tester, and what pen testers do is we try and grab the techniques that a lot of the attackers use or people that are more nefarious than I to gain information and gain knowledge on like human beings who are very vulnerable to attacks like these. So, and this is like some type of phishing attack. It's not an email, which is what most people think of a phishing attack. This is more of a personal note phishing attack.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things that is really in the cybersecurity world, you know, we always say that the computer isn't the most vulnerable. the company isn't the most vulnerable. The most vulnerable part is the human being.
Yeah, the old
person.
So
that's what people attack.
Yeah, we take all these like security training things around here all the time, and it's not like, do you know how to do seventh level NSA encryption? No, did you remember to put your flash drive in your pocket to lock the door,
right,
to lock the desk to right, your drawer where a document is?
Right. And like another big thing is they always say, like, don't let people, you know, walk in behind you in the doors, you know. And one of the big things in companies nowadays is that, well, for like, let's say I would do like a penetration test on a company. Right.
Hello.
One of the it's a very weird job title. But one of the things that like I would do if I were to do like a physical penetration test would be, you know, I would be like, oh, man, I forgot my badge. You mind if I just walk in behind you? And most 9 out of 10 times, people would be like, yeah, sure.
Wait,
you know,
because so
we've all forgotten our badge.
You actually put that to the test?
I mean, yeah. It's just something that, you know, one of the biggest, it's called social engineering. It's huge. You know, it's you probably heard of it before. I'm just going to throw a name out there. Kevin Mitnick, one of the most famous social engineers and hackers of all time. He pretty much did the same thing. And he, you can look him up on Wikipedia. He was an innovator in the field pretty much. But, you know, attacks like these are so common. And people always think, oh, it's just happening to me. I know a lot of people, for example, like they would get a call from the police. And the police would be like, oh, you're getting arrested for dodging your taxes. And they would freak out. And then they would, you know, are they about to get their credit card number? But then they call, you know, their significant other. Significant other says, don't do it.
Yeah, it's not the police's job to call or to go ahead and collect taxes and stuff like that. Yes, thank you for the call. That's some interesting
pretty
stuff.
Crazy.
Let's go to our old buddy. Looks like he's on the mend, Jimmy Zane. Jimmy Zane,
hey,
how
man.
You doing, man?
What's up, guys? How are you?
How you feeling?
How are you, Jimmy?
Pretty good, man. And again, I want to thank you guys for all the stuff you did for me back when I was sick. I really do appreciate that.
I love
it.
You got hit with this, man?
Actually, about a year ago, I got a letter. Now, the funny thing is you guys know that Jimmy Zane is really not my real name, but I got a letter in the mail and an email saying they were the IRS investigative service and that I owed back taxes of $23,000.
Right.
Which I knew that was a joke because that's not my real name. So when I called the number, it wasn't an Indian. It was like a Middle Eastern Iranian accent. And I sincerely apologize. I said, you know, I'll be glad to send you a check, but I can only pay $10,000. He said, that's fine. Gave the address. The address was in Florida. Now, it was an address that led to a UPS store.
Uh-huh.
You know, how you could go to a UPS store and get an address, but they put it in your P.O. box. So I sent them it really wasn't a fake check. It was an old check from Bank of America. And what I did was when I started up my other account, I didn't get rid of that check, but I wrote that check for $10,000, and I told the bank that somebody had stole my checkbook. So when I sent it out, they went to go cash it a year ago out of Florida. The check was flagged as being stolen, and the guy got picked up down there.
Oh, look at this.
And it was actually a bunch of them. It was four or five of them. They were using Google phone numbers on the letterhead. So, like, if you go to Google, you can get yourself a Google number. And when they call it, they'll be like, IRS, you know, so.
Yeah, that's how the IRS picks up. IRS!
That's like the first tell.
Press 1 if you owe us a bunch of money. Press 2 if you owe us, like, a little bit of money. Press 3 if you want to send us a booby pick.
So are you telling me you single-handedly brought down one of these?
I didn't single-handedly. There was more than just one complaint, but this guy actually was stupid up and tried to cash the check.
I don't like
but
to use the word hero.
The sad thing about it is...
I'm standing up for you.
The sad thing about it is they after the guy was charged, the charges were dropped. The charges were dropped because they said they couldn't prove that he was the one that actually did that. So the only thing they tried to charge him was possession of stolen property of some sort. But... No, it doesn't matter because this guy's hightailed out of there anyway. There's four or five of them living in an apartment complex.
Oh, God.
All from Nigeria.
You talk a lot.
Using Google voice numbers. So,
really? It is.
Damn.
So, but all right, man. Look, you guys have a great day, man. Have a good morning.
You
man.
Too.
Go. No. Keep on going.
Wow.